My dad, Pastor Salem, loves spreading the saving grace of Jesus Christ through his sermons and sharing the Word of God. I'm Mike Salem. We are grateful to be with you today. We hope you will invite others to join us in worship. We are blessed by your notes, letters, and online comments to us. Reading those are a special part of our day. In Minnesota, a viewer writes, "I'm so glad we stumbled on your broadcast several years ago when my husband was very ill. He has now passed on. You give a good jump start on Sundays to begin the week. Thank you for being in this for the long haul." And a note from Wyoming reads, "Even now, Pastor Salem brings me to tears. What a wonderful man. They are tears of joy. It is what I need." We hope my dad's message today, "Let me tell you something about heaven," reminds us that the way to heaven, our eternal home, is Jesus Christ. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a wonderful message today because we're going to preach about heaven. Let me tell you about heaven. And so just call some of your friends. Maybe some of your friends are lonely. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they had a hard time of it. Maybe they had some sorrow that came into their life. And this is such a wonderful message. It's talking about wonderful, how wonderful heaven is. And just give them a ring. That'd be a great thing. And pray as the message goes out that many people will open their hearts and be ready to go to heaven. So we're looking at Psalm 147, the opening verses. "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant and praises calmly. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He hasteth the wicked down and casteth them down. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praise upon the harp unto our God." And so we praise, Lord. We just come to praise you the best way we can because you're so wonderful and you're so kind and you care for us. And you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance and all become a part of your flock, a part of your church, a part of your body. And so if there's some listening today and not knowing you, may they come to Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful home you prepared for us. And may it encourage your people everywhere. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing, I know you're going to like it, "A Mansion Over the Hilltop." And God bless you, Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. I'd like to pack up and go right now. Won't that be glorious? And that's what we're going to preach about today. Wonderful, wonderful heaven. And so tell your friends, call your friends, and just look forward. Work for the Lord in some way the best you can. I know there are shut-ins. You say, well, I can't get out. I can't get out of this wheelchair. But you can pray. And you pray for God's people and pray for the pastors as they preach. Pray for the Christian worship hour and witness to those who speak to you and help you. Oh, just shine for Jesus. Someday that all that'll be done. You'll be done with your wheelchair. I'll be done with my walker. And won't we do something for the Lord? Praise the Lord for that. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, so many of you writing, and I just can't thank you enough for writing to us. And we're so happy when we hear from our people on shortwave. And we just love to hear from all of you, and I want to share some of those letters. The first one comes from Somerville, Massachusetts. And this is a lady who writes and says, I have been listening to the Christian Worship Hour for about a year now. I do tell others about the program because you give a clear message, a gospel message, and easy to understand. Enclosed a little token of my appreciation. I've been saved 41 years now. I was 31 when I gave my life and gave up my old life and asked Jesus to be my Savior on June 6, 1976. I would not give up this life in Christ and go back to the way I was. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through love in Christ. And that's exactly it. We're on the way home. If you have Jesus, if you know Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, we're just passing through this old wilderness journey. And we're on our way to heaven and we're going to get there. And we've got a lot of friends. I'm 96 now. I got a lot of friends over there waiting for me. And won't that be a celebration? But we want to work while we're here. We're going to work as long as we have breath. Everyone that names the name of Christ ought to be on the firing line for the Lord. Well, let's see. Drayton, North Dakota. Enclosed is a memorial gift for my father who passed away just 5 months short of being 100. He relied on you for his worship service the past 18 months. It was a blessing for both of us to share your weekly sermons and music. And so here this is a wonderful brother, and it makes us so happy that in his old age, going almost to 100, isn't that wonderful? And we can worship with him and encourage him along the way. And now he's there. He's entered the pearly gates. And he's in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to see him someday. I'll get to meet him. And that'll be a great time. Here's Boonsville, Missouri. Thank you and all your staff for the work you do. My husband and I had never tithed before. We found your ministry a few years ago, and we found a church to believe in and trust. We thank you for helping us do what is right. And that's exactly what you need to do, friend. Get into a church where they're preaching the Bible. Be sure they're preaching the Bible, that they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Just test it out and see. But you need to be in a church, not for only for what you can get, but what you can do. You can help them and they can help you. And the church is an institution of God. And so we need to support it. And I sure do. I spend 60 some years in the church, pastoring a church. Here's Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I love pastors' good words. I found Jesus September 7th, 1950. I pray each day in German. My dad read the German Bible. Oh, I miss my mom and dad. Well, here's the people there and have the German language. And my granddad, I had a grandfather and grandmother on my mother's side, and they were German. And they read from the German Bible. Sometimes they talk a little bit. And now they're with the Lord. And God bless them. And just, I'm looking forward to seeing them. Here's La Porte, Texas. Thank you for a new song. It is so encouraging because we do feel cast down many days and forget that Jesus said he will not leave us or forsake us. So beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Christian Worship Hour. And I just want to tell you, the new song is a little Bible study we put out every month, a new study every month. Now, for this month of September, we are on our new song is about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a lot of these people will use them for Bible, for Sunday school lessons. Some of them use them in homes, and they have Bible studies in homes. Some of them just their personal study. It's just a little Bible study we make up every month. And so if you'd like to get that, you just get your pencil and paper, and I'm going to give the address in just a few minutes. And you say, I know what you're saying. How much does it cost to subscribe to it? It is free. You cannot believe it, but we should really charge something, I know. But we're so good-hearted, we just give it away free. And we're going to give it away free until we go broke. Then we probably stop. So you write to us. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give it to you in a minute. Well, let me see. What do we have here? Lamoni, Iowa. I've been watching you and your Christian Worship Hour for years. I enjoy it very much. I've asked God to come into my heart some time ago and wanted to tell you about it as I never told anyone about it before. And so that's just wonderful. It's going on record of following Jesus. And see, you really just try to tell, when you accept Jesus, tell somebody about it. Witness for Jesus. And the devil will tell you, no, keep still. You'll offend them. They'll upset their little apple cart. And some of them need to have their apple carts upset. And you tell them about Jesus, how he saved you, how happy you are. You know your sins are gone. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a child of God. Oh, my. Tell somebody. That's it. Now, this is so nice, this lady wrote and told us. Here's Abaco, Bahama Islands, Bahama. I'm still enjoying your ministry and praying for you that the Lord will continue to bless with you as you spread the gospel. This is a brother believer in the Bahamas, and I've corresponded with him. And he writes, we write back and forth. And his wife is not in good health, and so we need to pray for her. But here's a dear brother in the Bahamas, and he worships with us all over the world. People are worshiping with us, and we're gathering around the throne of God, worshiping Jesus. And then one more. Cababdarian City, Philippines. And this is from a pastor. And I'm always so happy when we hear from pastors. And he writes, I'm so thankful for the chance to visit you again here in the Internet Cafe. And I've never heard call that before, but you can get us on the Internet. And he calls it the Internet Cafe. And to visit again your website. And also I'm thankful for the strength despite of my tiredness from my work. But there is joy in my heart now upon listening to your sermon or teaching. God bless you. Shalom and pray, Pastor Barrow. And so, you know, we should pay for pastors that are faithful to the Lord all over the world. The devil does everything he can to attack them. He does everything he can to get them discouraged. He wants them to give up. He wants them to go into despair. He wants them to get something that'll break their fellowship with the Lord. He's our enemy, and he's at it all the time, and he never gives up. And so pray for your pastors, and pray for this dear brother in the Philippines. And then someday we'll all be together, and we'll worship together around the throne of God. And that'll be a wonderful time. It's all yet to come, but it'll come. Every day, sometimes people say, well, you're one day closer to the grave. I said, no, I'm one day closer to hell, home, one day closer to heaven, one day closer to glory. That's the big thing. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you for the letters, and we like to hear from you. And we hope that you'll write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I repeat that really slow because We have many, many people on shortwave radio. They tell us that we reach 90% of the world's population on shortwave radio. And that just thrills our heart, because maybe some of you don't know the Jesus. You're not ready to meet Jesus. You want to go to heaven, but you don't know if you're going to get there. Well, you can know for sure if you have Jesus as your Savior. You know, in John 5:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," right now, the minute you believe, you have everlasting life, "and shall not come into condemnation," that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, John 5, verse 24. And so if you accept Jesus, you want to know more about Jesus, or you drifted away and you want to come back, write to us. And we also have a website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. But if you can't get access to that, write to us. And we'll respond wherever you are in the world. We'll respond. We write to everyone, email or snail mail or however you do it. We'll get word to you. Love to hear from you. And also remember, if you'd like to get the new song, the little Bible study, you put on there, new song, and we'll send it to you. And also remember this, when you send your gift, sometimes people say, "Oh, I wonder how he's going to spend that money. What if he gets himself a fancy sports car? You know, 96 years old and I get a sports car." Can you imagine that? Well, I couldn't if I wanted to, because we are a member. The Christian Worship Hour is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books. They come with a fine-tooth comb, and they take everything as you can imagine, and they check every penny we get and every penny we spend. So you don't need to worry, but we are doing it because we're doing God's work. And we're honest people before God. But you know, maybe you can't talk, God can't give you a sentence or write you a note, but the Evangelical Council for Financial Ability can, and you can tune them in, get them, or check on us and see, yes, they're above board and they need to be supported. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan is going to play, and you pray and say, "Dear Jesus, is this a ministry we should support? Do you want us to support this?" And if you feel in your heart that he says yes, and say, "Lord, now how much shall I do? What shall I do?" And then you send it to us, and we'll use it to the glory of God. So I'll pray, and then you to make your gift. Dear Lord, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from John chapter 14, the words of our Lord. And I'll just give you a minute to turn to that page. And then, of course, we pray. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church somewhere on this globe. And so today we're going to pray for the Christians at Bahrain. And all of these places we pray for are persecuting Christians right today. Maybe the minute we're having this service, somebody is giving their life for Jesus. And we're talking about heaven, and they'll be entering the pearly gates, and they'll receive the martyr's crown and be honored by God. John chapter 14, beginning with the first verse, and this is the word. These are the words of Jesus. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If there were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither ye go in the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus. The way to God is through Jesus. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've sent Jesus, the way to heaven, the way to your heart, the way to that glorious city of that has no foundations, and who has but builder and maker is God. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we can find that place and enter that place through Jesus, that beautiful, beautiful Savior. And it is our earnest prayer there will be multitudes of people that will say, oh, yes. The Holy Spirit will be knocking at their heart's door, and they'll say, yes, I want to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven with Jesus. I want to see him and to be with him. And so then they can just pray and accept you and into their heart. We pray that multitudes will do that. And our brothers and sisters in Bahrain, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for the little children left behind. We pray for those who are widows, Lord. Their husband is taken, put to death by the enemy of our souls, the enemy of Jesus. And they put Jesus to death, and now they're putting his followers to death. And so we just pray that you'll bless the children and the mothers that are left behind, or the old grandmas and the grandpas. They have hearts too. And I know you'll comfort them, Lord. And because they make this stand for you, may we stand true to you. And may we give you full service and dedication. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing for us, good, faithful Hank. And he's going to sing, There is a Redeemer. And God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, thank you.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, all for sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. So thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you, Hank. And that's just what we want to do, is just follow that Redeemer, that wonderful Savior, and worship Him and follow Him. And you know where it's going to end up? It's going to end up in heaven. So we're going to talk about heaven today, and I like to think about heaven and talk about heaven. I got a lot of loved ones over there, and the older you get, the more you'll have. And so we're all interested in heaven, every one of us. We're interested in heaven, and we, as we grow older, and most of our friends depart and are leaving us and go to be with the Lord. And so we think about heaven all the more. And it's only natural and right that those of us who accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you right now as clearly as I can and plain as I can, you will never get to heaven until you have Jesus Christ. Because He's the way to heaven. The way to heaven is not baptism and circumcision and all a thousand other different things. And it's not a church. And I love the church. I've gave my whole life to the church. But the way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the way. I am the life. And then He says, there's no way to heaven. Him that cometh to me, He says, it's because I'm the way. And there's no other way. No one will see God the Father. No one will see heaven unless they come through Jesus. Everybody, there's one door and only one, we used to sing, you know. And that door is Jesus. And so as we preach today, maybe the Holy Spirit will talk to you. I'm sure He will if you're not a Christian. And He'll say, you ought to have Jesus. And you'll never have Him until you ask Him into your heart. And you just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against You. Now I ask You to come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll serve You the best I can. Thank You, Jesus. That's what you need to do. If you want to get down and kneel, go ahead. But whatever you're doing, if you're driving a truck somewhere, keep your eyes open and pray anyway. Pray from your heart. And so this wonderful Jesus. And so we're all interested in heaven. Everybody that's a Christian is interested in heaven. We're interested in heaven because we're citizens of heaven. That's what we're told in Philippians 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're anxious to see about heaven because our names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And we're interested in heaven because our treasure is in heaven. In Matthew 6, verse 20, again, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, where thieves don't break through or steal. We're interested in heaven because that's our home. That's where we're going to live forever and ever. Because Jesus says in John 14, 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. So we're interested in heaven. Of course we are. And there are those who would try to discredit heaven. They would try to rob us of heaven. They would try to tell us, for centuries they've tried to talk heaven out of the picture. And they've made us think that, oh, there is no such thing as heaven. As soon as Jesus told us about heaven, the devil got those people saying, no, there isn't a heaven. You see, that when Eve was in the Garden of Eden, she says, God says, if we eat that, we shall surely die. And the next breath, the devil says, you won't die. See, he contradicts God all the time. And Jesus says, there's a heaven. The devil says, there's no heaven. The atheist says, there's no heaven. Heaven is only an illusion, they say. People get spiritually intoxicated and they think there's a heaven. The scientist says so many times there is no heaven. It's just a carryover from medieval fancy. The liberal theologian says there is no heaven. It's a worn out superstition. It's out of date. The philosopher says there is no heaven. The theory of heaven is nothing but is idiotic. It's just a not for a sound mind. The Eastern mystic says there is no heaven. They say that heaven is the absence of existence, if you can imagine that. The Russian cosmonaut, he was up in space. He looked all around. He says, I don't see any God, and I don't see any heaven, the poor lost soul. But there's a place to go to find out about heaven. And I'm going to tell you where you go. You don't go to the public library. You don't go to the secular author. You don't go from someone that's not from somebody dying. You don't go to somebody that claims he's been there and come back alive. I put no stock in that. And there's the only reliable place to go to find out about heaven, and that is the Bible, God's holy word. And so when somebody's got this guesswork and all the rest of it, you just say, I know where to go. I go to the Bible. And God tells us a lot about heaven. Jesus said, first of all, that heaven is a place, a definite place. In John 14, verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And as you know, the Bible was written in Greek. And I'm not a Greek student, but I know Greek students that are. And they tell us this, that the Greek word for heaven is topos, T-O-P-O-S, and it means a place. That's in Greek, a place. Heaven is a definite place. It's a literal place. In Hebrews 10, verses 10 and 16, Abraham illustrates this. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a place. Abraham wandered all of his life. He lived in tents. He was a nomad. He was pounding down stakes and pulling up stakes. And this man, he's traveling all the ways, and he's looking for a place where he won't have to pay stakes anymore. He's looking for a place, a literal place. And so St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul had a firm conviction. Heaven is a definite locality. It is a definite, explicit place. And so let me remind you, heaven is a place, but so is hell. Hell is a place just as much as heaven. And you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And you're not going to be anywhere else because there's nowhere else to be, heaven or hell. And you say, well, I hope God's picked me to go to heaven. God didn't pick anything. He gave us free moral agents and we choose. And Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve, God or the devil. And Jesus made it so that we're not robots. To say, I heard of one man, and he had his computer. And when he turned it on, it says, good morning, I love you. Now, isn't that nice? A computer saying they loved you? What did that mean? You know, you want to kick them in the face. You don't know what to do. They're crazy. I love you from a machine. And God doesn't want a bunch of robots here. He made us free moral agents, and we pick God or we pick the devil, and we have to pick one or the other. It's our choice. And you say, oh, I'm neutral. I'm not for the devil, and I'm not for Jesus. Well, Jesus answered that for us. He said, he that is not for me is against me. You're not for him, you're against him. Jesus says, no middle ground. And so this is a wonderful place, and we have to come to this wonderful place. It's a city. It's a corporate dwelling place. It's a city that has walls and gates. It's a city that has streets and has rivers. It's a city with a building and a people. It's a city without a flaw. It's a perfect place. John describes heaven. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, he says, there is a place called heaven. It's a perfect place. And he describes the origin of heaven. He says, it came down out of heaven from God. Its origin is from God, this wonderful heaven is. And then it tells us in Revelation 21, verse 2, this describes the character. He calls it the holy city. So it's a holy city, and that's its character. It's holy, and it's without sin. And then it talks about the residence, he says in Revelation 21, verse 3, the tabernacle of God and the redeemed of all ages. And so it tells us who the residents are. It's the believers from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from all the ages they are there. And won't that be something? And then in John Revelation 21, verse 11, he talks about the splendor of that city. And he says it's the brilliance is that of a dazzling, priceless jewel. Heaven is a place. And then heaven is also a beautiful place. Let me try to describe it. Where shall I begin? I'm going to describe heaven for you. So I take the words of St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:9. He's going to describe it. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath before prepared for them that love him." Paul is telling us, friend, you can't describe language. You can't put it in the human language. Maybe the angels can do it. I don't know. But man can't do it. It's so beautiful and so wonderful. It is beyond description. I read about a little boy who was born blind. And at long last, an operation was performed, and the light was slowly let in the hospital room, little tiny little degrees at a time. And then one day, he could open his eyes, and he could uncover his eyes, and he could look. And so the mother took him to the doors and let him look out on the beautiful scenery and about the creation of God. And the first time in his young life, he saw the earth, beautiful blooming flowers, the great green trees and the beautiful blue sky. And the little guy exclaimed, "Mother, why didn't you tell me it was so beautiful?" And the mother, with tears in her eyes, said, "My dear son, I tried to tell you, but you couldn't understand me." That's what we're saying about heaven. It is so beautiful, we can try, but we can never explain how beautiful heaven is going to be. And then heaven is a wonderful place also, because John writes, in Revelation 14:13, he said, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." They rest from their labors when we get to heaven. We rest from the struggles with sin. We have in this life, we have a constant battle with sin. We get conquer one thing and we got two others against us. And we struggle with sin. We're going to struggle with it as long as we live. And when we get to heaven, the struggle will all be past. The wearying conflict, the spiritual battles we fight for Christ against the devil, that's all to an end. Every fault and flaw will be gone. We won't have any bad habits. We won't have a temper, and we won't have gossip, and we'll have the right attitude, and we won't be despondent, and our body will be without weakness and without pain, and there won't be any disease, and there won't be any weariness, and there won't be any infirmity. Listen to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses beginning with the first verse. "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life." It's a place of rest. Wonderful rest from all of the battles and struggles of life. It's a place of reunion, a place of reunion with our loved ones who've gone on before. I don't suppose there's a soul who doesn't have somebody over there. Maybe it's somebody close to you, a spouse, a child, your mother, your father. I don't know. It may be a brother or a dad. It could be your son. It could be a friend. I don't know what it is. But when we get there, we're going to see them again. If they've trusted in Jesus, if they believed in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see them all again. And one of the most beautiful sights, more than the streets of transparent gold, more than the sea of crystal, more than the tree of life, more than the gates of pearl or the foundation of precious stones, it's going to be the face of our loved ones, and we'll see them again. I think of my mother and my wife so much, and I'll see them. They're just this dear Jesus. And it'll be beautiful to look upon them. Don Baker, pastor of Hinson Memorial Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon, writes, "I've always been fascinated with heaven. When I was younger, though, I thought of heaven only as a great shining city with vast walls and magnificent domes and soaring spires, and with there nobody in, and with nobody in it but white-robed angels who were total strangers to me. I just couldn't believe it." And then Hinson says, and then a Baker says, "My beloved pastor died. And my grandfather died, and my father died, and my son died, and my father-in-law died." And then he said, "One by one, as my friends began dying, three of my friends died in 1 week. Now," he said, "heaven is no longer walls and domes and spires. Heaven is people we loved and missed, people who are precious and whose faces we've not seen for a time. That will make heaven great, seeing our loved ones again." Heaven is like home in many ways. It's not what we have in our house, but who we have in our house. And we'll see those beautiful people we knew and loved and worked with and struggled with, and who are so thankful to God that He's taken us there and we can see them. We can list all the precious ones in heaven that we're going to see. We know we're going to see our Heavenly Father, and we're going to see the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see the dear Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to see the angels of God, and we're going to see the cherubim, and we're going to see the seraphim, all the saints of all ages. I can hardly wait until I get there and see them. And there's another thought I'd like to share with you, and that is this. Richard de Haan tells of a letter he received, and it puts a little different twist to it, but it's so true. "I'm looking to see my loved ones," and then de Haan puts it this way. He says, last month my mother went to heaven. She was 95 and a blessing to everyone who met her. The writer then went on to tell about a 7-year-old great-grandson, said about the passing of that dear saint of God. Expressing his great love and admiration for her, the little boy exclaimed, "I'll bet Jesus will be glad to see Grandma." You know, it's not only that we're going to be glad to see Jesus, He's going to be glad to see us. And He's going to take us in His arms, and He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You tried the best you could for me. And I didn't ask you to be successful. I asked you to be faithful. And we've been as faithful as we can be. And that will be great." Yes, Jesus will be happy to see us too when we enter the pearly gates. And when we brought into that, He purchased us with His own blood. We're a precious possession to Him. And He'll rejoice because He paid the price for our soul. And there it is, washed in the blood of the Lamb, safe at home. I'll bet God is be glad to see Jesus, be glad to see Grandma. He'll be glad to see you, and He'll be glad to see me. We see through a glass darkly, but then that glass will be gone. And we'll see so many things, and we'll see face to face. You can see your mother. You can see her with just the eyes of faith. I can see my mother by just closing my eyes, and I can see her. I can see her gray hair. I can see her wrinkled brow. I can see her dear eyes and her sweet smile. I can see her gentle hands so worn with work. I can see her beloved face. I can see all of that. And then God tells me I'm going to see her face to face. Now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Friend, what you're here, you just can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be all together again. But you have to have Jesus. And then I want to close. It's a happy place. We'll know each other in heaven. We'll see each other and know each other. And we'll be because, for instance, you take the encounter on Mount Transfiguration. And Peter and James and John went up onto that mountain. And they met and they saw and they knew Moses and Elijah. And they knew them, although Moses and Elijah had lived at least 900 years before Peter, James, and John. But when they laid eyes on them, they knew them. There's no need for introductions and all of the rest of that. We can just know that we can look upon that wonderful Lord Jesus. And we'll know them, and we'll know every person there. And we'll know the prophets in the Old Testament, and we'll know the people of God, no matter who they are, where they come from. And we're having our Christian worship hour, and we're all over the world. And I wish I could see you. I want to see you. And we are going to see each other, and we're going to celebrate around the throne of God, coming from all the parts of the earth. And this, won't that be a glorious time? I can hardly wait. It's just goes so wonderful. Richard de Haan says this, the man in Hades not only saw Adam and Abraham and Lazarus, he knew who they were. There is not only consciousness in the life beyond, but an awareness that includes the recognition of other people. Neither heaven nor hell is going to be populated by a mass of faceless, impersonal, unknown inhabitants. No, there is consciousness, there is awareness, there is recognition. We shall know one another in heaven. And so I just want to tell you, you know, I want to see you in heaven. But I want to tell you something, friends. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. And everybody talking about heaven ain't going there is what that old Negro spiritual was, and they were right on. Everybody talking about heaven, everybody wanting to go to heaven, everybody think they're going to heaven, but only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a religious man. He studied his whole life. He studied the Old Testament. He knew it backwards and forwards. And to that man, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you can't get to heaven that way. You must be born again. And what Jesus was meaning is you have to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And he makes us a new creation. And as we receive Jesus, we become a new creation. All things are passed away. All things all become new. And now we have the old nature, but we have a new nature, that beautiful nature of Christ. And we have the righteousness of Christ to cover us. We are now covered with our sins. And you say, oh, I do a lot of good works and I serve the Lord. I'll just do so many good things for Jesus. But God tells us your works are as filthy rags. And I can't accept them. Why? In Revelation 21, verse 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then it goes on in the next, and tells us in Revelation 20, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life, dear friends? Have you received Jesus? Are you prepared for heaven? And as you prepare for heaven, you say, what do I do? How do I get that clothed, that so I'm clothed in righteousness? And I'll tell you how you get it. You ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. You may think you are. Maybe somebody told you you are. Maybe even a pastor told you you are when God has certain things done to you or certain ceremonies. But you're not saved until you're born again. And you're not born again till you receive Jesus. That's what it means. Because when you receive Jesus, then you're born again and you're a new creation. And you say, but how? Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He just didn't get it. And what Jesus is telling him, you're born again when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And when we receive Jesus, we're born again. And our old nature is still there, but we have a new nature and we become a new creation. We don't have fixed up the old nature. We have a new nature and we become a new creation. And you get Jesus into your heart by asking him there. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I'll fellowship with him. I'll sup with him. That means he'll have fellowship with him forever and ever. Is he knocking at your heart's door? You say, well, how do I know? I'll tell you how you know. If there's something in you that says, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. You ought to have Jesus. You ought to accept Jesus. May not be in my audible voice, but you just know you ought to have Jesus. And then you pray and you make that prayer. And when you pray that, the Lord Jesus will take you and he'll baptize you by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And you're part of the body of the living God. And you will never perish. And so Jesus tells us himself, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now you've heard his word. You've heard it as if I've stumbled along and made mistakes and the grammar hasn't been the best. But I'm telling you, you know, I've given you the word. He that heareth my word and believeth, that's what you have to do. I can't do it for you. Whoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. That is to say, I believe Jesus. That you died for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I believe that. And believeth, he says, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. Right there, the minute you pray, you have eternal life. If you haven't made that prayer, you have eternal death. If you make that prayer, the minute you make that breath, prayer, that same breath, you are a child of God. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he holds you in his hand. And you will never perish. You have eternal life and saved forever. And I hope and I pray that you pray. Right now, pray, Jesus, just come into my heart. Take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. I'll serve you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman, go and sin no more. Don't you follow that practice, that trade you have. You've got to get away from that. Thou shalt not. And you need to follow me. And there's something in your life isn't right or something you're doing. You forsake that sin and God will tell you what it is. He'll show you. And then if you make that prayer and accept Jesus, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And all of those of you on shortwave, you write to us. Get that down now. Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA, if you want to, if you're out of the States. And we'll send you some literature and get you started in the Christian life. And we'll pray for you, and you can pray for us. And we'll send you literature to help you in the Christian life and to help you along. And to those of you who are young people, children and young people, he wants you. You have your whole life to give, and you just pray in your own way the best you can. I was 10 years old when I prayed that prayer, and I remember it as if it was last night. And those of you on beds of sickness, and those are shut-ins, and those are lonely, and you don't know which way to turn, and some of you are hurting, and you just trust Jesus and love Jesus, this wonderful Savior. And this wonderful Savior will come into your life, and He'll give you peace, and you'll always have Him. So now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for the multitudes that have opened their heart to you. We believe that all over the world there are people praying that. And we just pray that you just help them to know in their heart, yes, they have the Savior. They have eternal life. And those on beds of sickness, and those who are weary, and the young people that don't know what decision to make, and they have all their life, and the decisions are so important, bless them and turn their hearts to you and help them to write so we can pray for them and worship with them around the throne of grace. And we'll give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking for the letter, and we're going to be counting on your prayers. And I just know that if you make that prayer, when I prayed that prayer 10 years old, I didn't hear voices and I didn't see lights and I didn't get goose pimples, but I just knew. Jesus said, if you ask me into your heart, I'll come in your heart. And it was a contract. It was a deal. And just like God made with Abraham. And He says, Abraham, you believe me, I'll give you the promised land. And He says, now Jesus says, if you just believe me and ask me into your heart, I'll give you the promised land and give you heaven. And I'll give you hope and help right now. So just do that. And then next week, we'll all get together, the Lord willing. Maybe He'll come, maybe He won't. And we'll worship the Lord together. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.